This audiobook is distributed by Christian Audio. Please visit christianaudio.com to offer your impressions of this work and to explore additional titles.
Crossway Audio, a division of Good News Publishers, presents This Present Darkness by Frankie Peretti, read by the author.
The college town of Ashton had always been a simple, unassuming sort of place, never regarded as a locale for distressing occurrences or jarring changes, until one perilous summer when spirits good and evil gathered, and long-hidden, long-brewing spiritual violence suddenly erupted from the realm of the invisible into the realm of people and events. When Marshall Hogan, editor of the Ashton Clarion, sent Bernice Kruger, his reporter, to cover the Ashton Summer Festival, he never expected she would end up in jail on false charges after taking photographs of five people who did not want to be seen, much less photographed, together. A local minister, a college professor, and the chief of police meeting secretly behind a carnival booth with two out-of-town strangers. When Marshall bailed her out the next day, she was furious, but also suspicious, convinced that the arrest was staged in order to seize her camera and destroy her film. She just couldn't say why. Marshall met with the chief of police, Alf Brummel, intent upon getting an explanation and an apology. But Brummel denied knowing anything about the false arrest and insisted he hadn't been at the carnival at all. Marshall was not the kind to accept such a flat contradiction, but strangely, as if Brummel had some mysterious hypnotic power over him, Marshall went away from the meeting believing Brummel, somehow lulled into a stupid complacency and willing to let the whole thing slide. In the meantime, Hank Bush, pastor of the Ashton Community Church, was trying to figure out who'd spray-painted an obscenity on the front of his house. This was only the most recent in a long chain of harassments and attacks he'd been receiving. Factions within his church were working aggressively to drive him out, while unknown enemies were taking every opportunity they could find to smear and intimidate him. Though he and his wife Mary had all kinds of theories, they really didn't know why this was happening to them. Marshall, still dazed by his meeting with Chief of Police Brummel, was ready to dismiss Bernice Kruger's suspicions altogether until he had a chilling confrontation with Professor Julene Langstrett. He'd gone to the college to pick up his daughter Sandy and tried to sit in on Sandy's last class for the day, taught by the beautiful but strangely sinister professor. Immediately, as if by psychic radar, the professor spotted him, seemed to know who he was, and ordered him out of the room. The moment was awkward. Sandy was embarrassed. Marshall was enraged. And after the class dismissed, they had harsh words for each other as the long feud between them broke out again. But this awoke Marshall from his stupor, and he took note of that strange event, especially the diabolical look in the professor's eyes. Maybe Bernice was right. Something suspicious was going on between Alf Brummel, Professor Langstrett, and Marshall's own pastor, Oliver Young. Later that day, two large men appeared outside the Ashton Community Church. One was dark and wiry, the other bearded and massive. They were dressed in tan fatigues and carried swords at their sides. "The others are waiting inside," said Triscoll, the wiry one. "Lead on," said Gilo. Quick as a thought, they passed through the walls of the church and found several more large, sword-bearing figures like themselves gathered in the sanctuary. Some sitting in the pews, others standing around the platform, still others acting as sentries, looking cautiously out the windows. "Welcome, Gilo, the strength of many." The greeting came from none other than Tal, the captain of the host of the Lord. It was strange to see such a mighty warrior, tall and glorious, with golden hair, ruddy complexion, and fiery golden eyes, standing in this humble place. "Greetings, my captain." Tal's expression was grim. "It's a serious business that brings us together, old friend." Kilo had already read that fact in the faces around him. 23 warriors? The very best, gathered now as though under siege, cowering in a flimsy fortress from a dreaded enemy? With a dramatic flare, he drew his sword and cradled the blade in his free hand. "Captain Tal, who is this enemy?" "Rafar, the Prince of Babylon." I know you speak the truth, but would such as Rafar come to this place? He is a prince of nations, not mere hamlets. What is this place? What interest could he possibly have in it?" "We don't know, but something's in the making, and the Lord God wants us here to confront whatever it is."
"Confront it, Captain? But Triskel has told me that we are not to fight, we are not to resist, and this by your order."
"There can be no confrontations, not yet. We're too few, and the saints are not yet praying." Just then a lawnmower roared by outside. Tal guided their attention to the young man pushing it. "This is Hank Bush, pastor of the church. Hearing his prayers, the Lord called us here. Hank Bush is a man of prayer, something the enemy fears. He's one of the last." "If not the last," lamented a warrior. "No, Creone, he's not alone. There's still a remnant of believers in this town. There's always a remnant. Triskel, I'll hear news of Marshal Hogan. I've been following him closely. Right now he's being hounded by a demon of complacency and despair. Could be he's beginning to stir. They're trying to hold him back. I expect Rafar to take power here by nightfall. No doubt he'll immediately search out his greatest obstacle and try to remove it."
"Ah," said Gilo. "These two men, Marshal Hogan and Hank Bush."
"Creone, Triskel, select 4 warriors and watch over Hank. Don't let his life be touched, but aside from that, prevent nothing. He must be tested. As for Marshal Hogan, Rafar will give his demons incredible license with him, and he could collapse or, as we all hope, fight back. Gilo, select some warriors. We'll watch care over him tonight and see how he responds. The rest of you, seek out the remnant." Tal drew his sword and held it high. The others did the same, and a forest of shining blades appeared.
"For the saints of God, and for the Lamb!"
And every warrior echoed,
"For the saints of God, and for the Lamb!"